Following sermon, entitled Simon Peter's Restoration, number 10 in the series on Following Jesus with Simon Peter, was preached on the evening of April 25th, 2021 at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. If you enjoy listening to our sermons, we encourage you to come worship with us. For more information on service times and upcoming Bible study opportunities, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's open God's Word this evening to John 21. John chapter 21, we will read the whole chapter. The text for tonight's sermon will be verses 15 through 17. John 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, as the Sea of Galilee, and on this wise showed He himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fishing coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. And as soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren that that disciple should not die. Yet Jesus said not unto him, Ye shall not die, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testifieth of these things, and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. The text for tonight's sermon is verses 15 through 17. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. But what about Peter? That is the question that this last chapter in the book of John addresses. And thus this chapter is an important supplement or epilogue to the book of John. And I call this chapter an epilogue or supplement because the book of John has really two different endings. We back up to John 20, verses 30 and 31, we read John stating the purpose for why he's written this book. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Those verses would be a very fitting, appropriate ending. But yet, John continues writing, and then when we get to the end of chapter 21, there are more verses that would be an appropriate conclusion. Verse 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written, every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Amen. So there are sort of two different endings here, which leads us to say this is a sort of epilogue to the book of John, a supplement, which means the purpose of this chapter is different than what's just preceded it. We have another resurrection appearance, but Christ's purpose here is different than his purpose before, because before he appeared to his disciples to establish the truth of his justification, to teach the disciples about the necessity of his resurrection. Here, his purpose is different. Here, he's focused on his disciples and establishing them in their calling to be apostles, as well as answering the question, what about Peter? And understand, that's an important question. That's a relevant question in light of Peter's lamentable fall. Oh yes, he had promised grandly, though everyone else be offended, I will not be. But then when the trial came, he failed miserably. But now the question becomes, well, what does this mean for Peter? How are we to view Peter now? And understand, the question is not concerning Peter's salvation. There's no question there. And there can be no question there, exactly because Jesus Christ has already come privately and personally to Peter. There's been a number of resurrection appearances, and from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in which Paul is listing the various resurrection appearances, we know that Christ came to Peter individually, and we understand that, no doubt, that was for Peter's reconciliation. We're not told anything about that meeting, but it's safe to assume that when Christ met with Peter one-on-one, there was confession of sin and there was forgiveness extended. So when we ask, well, what about Peter? The question's not about his salvation, but we're asking the question about his office. Is he still an apostle? Or has he disqualified himself by his sin? Is his preaching still the authoritative word of God? Can he function as an inspired writer? What about Peter? Well, this chapter answers that question. Because here in this chapter, we have Peter's restoration that takes place in a very formal and public way, making clear that God does still have a purpose for Simon Peter. This is his restoration as an under-shepherd of the great shepherd. And so tonight we consider John 21 verses 15 through 17 under the theme Simon Peter's restoration. First we'll look at Peter's love question, focusing on the question, do you love me? And then we'll look at Peter's calling affirmed, focusing on the calling, feed my sheep. And this will be our final sermon in our series, Following Christ with Simon Peter. Simon Peter's restoration, his love question and his calling affirmed. Simon Peter was no doubt eager to get to shore as he was swimming in the Sea of Galilee. He was swimming in the Sea of Galilee because he had gone out fishing on the Sea of Galilee the night before. The day before, still perhaps struggling with his calling in life and what God's will was for him, he decided to go fishing. He told the others, I go a-fishing, thereby implicitly inviting them to join him. And they had joined. They said, we also go with thee. And so now seven of the disciples were back together on a boat out in the Sea of Galilee. But though they had fished all night, they had caught nothing. Then early on in the morning, a man appeared on shore and called out to them. They could hear him because they were only about 300 feet away from shore. And this man's voice came carrying along the water saying, lads, have ye any meat? Their answer, no. But then that voice came carrying along the water a second time saying, well, cast your net on the other side of the ship, and you will find. And even though this man at this point in time is a complete stranger to them, yet there's something so compelling in his words, something so authoritative in his voice, they could not but listen to him. And when they obeyed, cast their nets on the other side, they found this man's words to be true, because as we read in verse 6, they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it, the net, for the multitude of fishes. And it had been John who was the first to put this all together. And he leaned over and told Peter, his close friend, it is the Lord. And as soon as Peter heard those words, he knew John was right. Here's a duplication of one of the first miracles they had ever seen together. The miracle of the great catch of fish that Jesus had performed at the very beginning of their calling as disciples when he told them they were going to be fishers of men. eager to see the Lord Jesus and to speak with the Lord Jesus. Simon Peter quickly throws on his fishing coat, wraps his girdle around him, and plunges into the Sea of Galilee so that he's now swimming toward shore. And when he gets to shore, he's surprised by what he sees. There's a fire there with coals indicating it's as though this fire's been there for some time, and there's a single fish roasting above it, as well as a single cake of bread. Shortly after, the other disciples come in from the boat, in the boat with the net being dragged behind them. Jesus commands them, tend to the catch first. And what a catch it was. 153 large fish. It was astonishing that the net had not broken. But then once they had taken care of the fish, Jesus bid them come and dine. They sat down, and they had a meal. Jesus taking from the one fish and the one cake of bread and distributing it to the disciples, the food multiplying in his hand so that yet another miracle was duplicated, a small amount of food that was more than enough for everyone there, just as it had been when Jesus fed the 5,000. And you see, these two miracles that Jesus performs in the first part of John 21 were like a two-part sermon for these disciples. The first miracle, the duplication, the replication of the great catch of fish, was on the one hand a reminder to them of their calling. I called you to be fishers of men. And regardless of what the intentions of the disciples were in going out fishing, Jesus was making clear, you are still to be fishers of men. At the same time, he was both reminding them that their labors were vain and useless apart from him, while at the same time showing that ultimately success was guaranteed because of his word. In addition, there was that miracle of the miraculous provision of a meal, showing the disciples that as you go about your work as fishers of men, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to provide your needs. And taken together, this is encouragement for the disciples. This is encouragement for them in their work. Jesus Christ is establishing them in their apostolic office. But again, that raises the question, well, what about Peter? Is he going to join us in this work? Is he still going to be an apostle, a fisher of men, or should he really just go back to fishing because of his sin? Well, it's that question that Jesus Christ now addresses in the text that we consider tonight, verses 15 through 17. And he addresses it by questioning Simon Peter about his love. Three times he will ask him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And understand that while the repetition itself is important, nevertheless, there's progression in these three questions, as we will see. So let's look at each of the three questions in turn. Verse 15, we read, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? This is a fair question. Because by his conduct, his behavior, in the courtyard of the high priest, you would not think that Simon Peter loved the Lord Jesus. So he asks him, do you love me? And specifically, do you love me more than these? That's the emphasis here in this first question. Lovest thou me more than these? And while some interpret this passage to teach that, well, he's pointing at the boat and the net, and do you love me more than you love that occupation? But I do not believe that's the correct interpretation. Rather, I believe Jesus Christ is pointing at the other disciples. Simon Peter, do you love me more than they love me? And I believe that that is the correct interpretation, because Jesus Christ then is addressing Peter's proud claim when he had said, though everyone else be offended, I will not be offended. Essentially, Peter had said, I love you with a greater love than these other disciples. They might abandon you, but I would not do that. And now Jesus Christ asks him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Do you stand by that claim? Are you still going to say that your love is quantitatively greater than their love? To this question, Simon Peter responds. He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. This is a humble response, because you notice on the one hand, Simon Peter avoids the comparison altogether. I'm not going to go there. And by dropping the comparison, by not trying to analyze his love relative to the others, he's confessing the wrong in that. He's taking that back. And furthermore, this is a humble response. With that, this is a humble response comes out in the specific word that Simon Peter uses when he says, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. In this passage, there are two different words, Greek words, that are both translated as love in the English language. The one word is a lower form of love. It's the Greek word phileo, and I say it because this is important for the whole sermon, so you guys are going to learn a little bit of Greek tonight. Phileo. This is the lower form of love. This is the word that's embedded in the name Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. The other word that's used in the text is agape, a Greek word you've probably heard before. This is a higher form of love. This is the love of God that He works in our hearts. This is an unconditional love, an unchanging love, a love that's other-focused rather than self-focused. When Jesus Christ asks Simon Peter, Simon, do you love me? He uses the higher form of love. Do you love me with an agape love, Peter? And now when Simon Peter responds, he says, Yea, Lord, I love you. And he uses the lower form. I phileo you. I have that love for you in my heart. He doesn't dare claim that higher form of love because he knows that his love did not measure up. His love cannot be described by that term. And thus, this is a humble response from Simon Peter. And to this, Jesus then says, feed my lambs. But then Jesus Christ questions him a second time. Verse 16, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And here Jesus uses the same word, agape. Simon Peter, do you agape me? But now this time Jesus Christ himself has dropped the comparison. He doesn't add the words more than these. And thus this time Jesus Christ is asking about the presence of this love, not Simon Peter's love relative to others, but is this agape love even there, Peter? And Simon Peter again responds, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And again, he uses the word for the lower form of love. I love you with a phileo love, Lord Jesus. He doesn't dare claim the higher form of love. He doesn't go to the other extreme either and say, I have no love for you whatsoever, because he does love the Lord Jesus. That love is really in his heart. And so he settles sort of in the middle. I'm not going to say I don't love him, but I'm not going to say I have an agape love. So yes, Lord, I love you with a phileo love. And again, the Lord Jesus tells him, feed my sheep. But then he questions him a third time. Verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And notice, Peter's grieved by this. Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And there are two reasons Peter's grieved here. The secondary reason, that is the reason that's in the background, is the fact that he's asking a third time. And you may be sure the significance of that was not lost on Simon Peter. Three times Jesus asks, do you love me? Because three times Simon Peter had denied him. Three times Simon Peter said, I know not the man. Each time saying it with more force, more vehemence. And so now Jesus Christ asks him three times, Simon Peter, do you love me? Each time he probes a bit deeper. And that brings us to the primary reason that this third question is such a grief for Peter, because here the Lord Jesus himself is asking, Peter, do you love me, with a phileo love. The first two times Jesus Christ uses the word for the higher form of love, Peter, do you love me, with an agape love. And both times Peter had said, I love you with the phileo love, Lord Jesus. But now this third time that Jesus Christ asks the question, Christ himself switches to the lower form of the word and says, Simon Peter, do you even love me with this lower love? Is that even in your heart? And Peter's grieved by this. Not in the sense that he's irritated, not in the sense that he's frustrated with the Lord Jesus, but he's grieved in the sense that he knows he deserves this question. He knows that when he was there in the courtyard, that even this common affection, even this lower love had been thrown to the wind. But yet, he does love the Lord Jesus. So he says again, yea, Lord, I love you. And here he emphasizes the fact that Christ knows this. And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. You're the searcher of hearts. You know what's in my heart better than I know what's in my heart. You know there is love there because you yourself put that love there, even though it's faint, even though it's deficient. I dare not claim agape love for you, but I do love you with a phileo love, Lord Jesus. And to this, Christ says the third time, feed my sheep. And now at this point, we might be wondering, what is the Lord Jesus doing here? What's his purpose in all of these questions? And his purpose is to bring about Peter's restoration. That's what's going on here. A restoration that includes both a public reconciliation as well as a public reinstatement into office. And it's public because it's in front of these six other disciples. They will be able to testify to this. On the one hand, this is Simon Peter's restoration in the sense of it's his public reconciliation. We said that his private reconciliation has already taken place. When the Lord Jesus appeared to him specifically, individually. But now the others need to know that that's happened. The others need to know that Simon Peter's sorry for his sin and that he's been forgiven for his sin. And that's why Jesus Christ is addressing his sin in this public way in front of others. Yes, he lays his finger on a sore spot. But not to aggravate it, but rather to heal it. He's drawing out Simon's sorrow. He's drawing out his humility so that the others see, yes, he is sorry. And then by saying three times, "Simon, son, Jonah, feed my sheep," implied in that statement, "feed my sheep," is included, "I forgive you." So that the others hear it and know that, yes, Simon Peter has been reconciled. But now this is also his public reinstatement into office, exactly because three times he's told, "feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." That is, you are still to be a fisher of men. You are not to go back to fishing in the Sea of Galilee, but you're still called to serve me as an apostle. So the question is answered. What about Simon Peter? Is he still an apostle? Yes. He's publicly reinstated into office. This was important that this take place. Important for the other disciples. This would cut any future criticism. This would prevent them from ever being suspicious of Simon Peter. But now they can go forward laboring side by side with him, confident that God has called him to this work. This is also important for Simon Peter, because this is an important part of Christ's work to mold him and to shape him into the apostle that he needed to be. Did you notice the name that Jesus uses in addressing Simon Peter here? All three times, it's Simon, son of Jonas. He uses the name that describes who Simon Peter is by nature. Because in that courtyard, he had been anything but a Peter, anything but a rock. And understand that Jesus Christ is not trying to get a dig in at Peter, but instead he's reminding Simon Peter of his own natural weakness, of his inability to stand against temptation by himself when he's relying on himself. And Christ's purpose here is to further remove that self-reliance, to get rid of that self-confidence. Christ is at work purifying his disciple, equipping him, teaching him his complete dependence upon Jesus Christ as he goes about his work, exactly because he is going to be sent back out as a fisher of men. And does this not highlight the mercy of our Lord that he does this? Jesus Christ not only forgives us, but he also restores us. And even more than that, he takes our very sins, our falls, and uses them to help teach us to see our need for Jesus Christ. And thus, if we've committed some great sin, if we have been wandering like sheep, if we've gone astray tonight, that does not preclude future service in the kingdom of our Lord Jesus. Christ's word to sinners tonight is, I still have a purpose for you. Because I not only forgive you, but I now also restore you. And for Simon Peter, that purpose, that calling, was to feed Christ's sheep. Three times he tells him that, and in that Jesus Christ is affirming Peter's calling. Peter's calling affirmed. In all three verses we read, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. We're going to consider this calling for Simon Peter by focusing on one word at a time and understand that while there is application for all of us, this does have special application for the office bearers of the church. Christ's word to the office bearers, elders, pastor, and even the deacons, is feed my sheep. Sheep. Feed my sheep, says the Lord Jesus. And we recognize the illustration that he's using because all throughout Scripture, God's people are likened to sheep. We are the sheep of his flock. This is familiar to us from such passages as Psalm 23 and John 10, and it reminds us that just as sheep are weak, dependent, defenseless creatures, so that's true of us spiritually, that we're vulnerable, we're prone to wandering, we stand in need of a shepherd. Feed my sheep, Simon Peter. In other words, recognize those to whom I send you to work with are just like you, sinners, proud, self-reliant, selfish. And understand that when you work with them, be patient with them, know their weaknesses, and work with them accordingly. And Simon Peter, make sure you pay special attention to the lambs. The lambs. And that we're called to pay special attention to them is the fact that Christ puts that first. Three times he says, feed my sheep. But notice in the King James, the first time it's, feed my lambs. And that's an accurate translation because in the Greek there is a different word. We're talking about the young sheep here. The children of the church. Simon Peter, office bearers. Do not neglect them. Do not suppose that just because they're children, they're somehow less significant. We can just sort of pass them on to others. But feed my lambs. Catechize them. Make sure they have good Christian schools to attend. When you go out on family visitation, bring them into the conversation. Because even though that work among the little children of the church is never going to be on the front page of some newspaper or magazine, it is on the front page of Christ's commission to Simon Peter. He puts this first, feed the lambs. Be sure that you feed them. That's the verb that's used here, feed. And again, there's actually two different words here. Just as with their sheep, the whole flock, and then the little lamb singled out. Now again, we have two words that are both translated as feed, a more general term, and one that's more specific. The more general term could really be translated shepherd them, because that's the idea. It refers to all of the work that's included in the work of a shepherd. It's showing how all-encompassing this calling is. Not only feed and nourish them, but also lead and guide them. Guard and protect them. Help them with their struggles. Guide them down life's pathway. And also protect them. Sound the alarm when there are enemies around. And be willing to draw that club to drive away the wolves and the bears and the lions. Do the work of a shepherd. But then also make sure you feed them. And that's the specific word that's used. Shepherd them, but then a special focus on feed them in the sense of nourish them. And really what Jesus is saying is, this is the main way that you shepherd them, by giving them the nourishment that they need, the nourishment of the Word of God. Make sure the little lambs have the milk of the Word that they need. Make sure the flock as a whole is led into the green pastures of my Word. Open up the Scriptures. Give the sense and cause the people to understand. And in all of this, make sure you're always doing this. These verbs here, feed and shepherd, are in a specific tense, the present tense, which indicates that this is intended to be ongoing. This is not a one-time thing, but the idea is, be feeding my sheep. Keep feeding my sheep. Be diligent in this work. Make sure you're always doing this work. And be diligent in this work, because these are my sheep. They're mine, says the Lord Jesus. And we know that from the whole of Scripture. From a passage like Hebrews 13, verse 20, which speaks of Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep. We know that we are His sheep because He has purchased us as His own. Acts 20, verse 28, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which He hath purchased with His own blood. These are His blood-bought sheep. He laid His life down for them. And the point is, they're precious to Him. There's no greater treasure in all the earth than Christ's sheep. There's nothing more valuable that He left behind when He went up into heaven than His little lambs. And because they're so dear and precious to Him, feed them. Shepherd them. That's the calling that's set before Simon Peter and before every office bearer. And it's a calling which we must perform out of love. Love for Christ. You see, there's a definite connection between the calling, feed my sheep, and the questions and answers that precede them. Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me? Yea, Lord, I do love you. Thou knowest it. Okay then, now feed my sheep out of love for me. That's the driving motive of every office bearer, not to gain the favor of the people, not for praise from the people, and not even out of love for the sheep. That's important. That's a part of it. But it's so striking here that the question is not, Simon Peter, do you love my sheep? Okay, go feed them. But it's, do you love me? Do you love me, Jesus Christ? Let that be the motive. In other words, our love for Jesus Christ is to flow out toward the other members of the church as love for them. That which is near and dear to the heart of Jesus Christ is to be near and dear to the heart of Simon Peter. And this is crucially important. So important is love for Jesus Christ that this is really the first and most important qualification for any office bearer. An office bearer, or a prospective office bearer, may well be blameless. The husband of one wife, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine. But if this is missing, if there is no love for Jesus Christ in that man's heart, all of the other qualifications are worthless. This is the question for any and every office bearer or prospective office bearer. Do you love Jesus Christ? Because that's the root of every other qualification for the office bearer. And this is crucially important, not only for his qualification, but for his work. This is what drives the office bearer. This is what motivates him. When there's meeting after meeting after yet another long meeting, the office bearer continues because he loves Jesus Christ. This is what enables the office bearer to go about his work even when certain sheep perhaps are stubborn, perhaps difficult to work with, and everything in him just wants to let the old man fly. Let him have it. It's love for Jesus Christ that causes him to draw back and to deal patiently. This is the fire in a man's soul that makes him willing to sacrifice of his time, to make the difficult decisions, and to press on in the difficult work. It's love for Jesus Christ. But now, along with that, there's something else that's needed. Not only love for Jesus Christ, but also this, the humble recognition that I do not love him as I ought to love him. There's something commendable about Simon Peter's response. The first two times Jesus Christ asks him, do you love me? He says, do you love me with an agape love? And all three times that Simon Peter responds, all that he can muster is to say, I love you with a phileo love, Lord Jesus. in that he's saying, I do love you, but I recognize that I do not love you as much as I should. And this shows that his self-confidence has been beaten down. He's no longer filled with pride, comparing himself and viewing himself as better than others. He's no longer making grand promises of love and faithfulness, but instead, in humility, he's confessing that, yes, Lord, I do love you, but that love is weak. It's deficient. It's not what it should be. And that too is crucially important for the office bearer. Really, we could argue this is the second most important qualification. First most important qualification, love for Jesus Christ. Right behind that, the humble recognition, I do not love him as much as I should. And this too is crucial for the office bearer in his work. Because this is what keeps the office bearer from holding himself up above the sheep, from looking down upon the flock in his pride. This is what helps give the man patience in his work, recognizing I'm just like them. I too still struggle with a lack of love for Jesus Christ. I still have to battle self-love in my heart. This is what makes the office bearer willing to come alongside of the sheep, to get down on his knees with them and pray with them. So is this your confession? Regardless of whether you are an office bearer or not, or ever will be an office bearer, do we confess tonight, I do love the Lord Jesus, but I do not love him as I ought to? This changes how we interact with each other. This makes us willing to wash one another's feet. This is what drives the long-suffering, the forbearance that's so crucial to preserving the unity in the church. Love for Jesus Christ that makes us want to love one another. But then also the humble recognition, I do not love him as I ought to, and therefore I'm not going to hold myself above the other members of the church. But now that leaves the question, where then does this love come from? This love comes from Christ and knowing his love for us, knowing his sacrifice for us, that he laid down his life, knowing his steadfast love and grace, that I'm a sinner. He has every right to cast me off. He has every right to leave me as a wandering sheep straying out there in the wilderness, but yet he comes seeking me and drawing me back. This love comes from knowing his shepherding care for us. The fact that he's the one feeding us and nourishing us. He's the one leading us and guiding us. He's the one guarding us and protecting us. Yes, he uses office bearers as instruments in his hand, but it's ultimately him, the great shepherd. It's his love for us that's first. And my hope and prayer for this series, as we come to the end of it tonight, is that we have grown to appreciate more Christ's love and all that He has done for us. As we've been following Him for several weeks now from the viewpoint of Simon Peter, it's knowing His love that leads to the love we must have for Him in our hearts. And now that does not mean He's a mere example to us, because we're not merely saying He's so loving over there and now we need to be like Him. But the point is, we are the objects of His love. We have tasted His love. And as those who've been given new life in Jesus Christ, we cannot but help Him. We cannot but love Him in response. But then it's also knowing His love that leads to that humble recognition, I do not love Him as I ought. Because when we understand the depth of His love, the extent of His love, we see just how worthy He is of our love. And when we see how much love He deserves, we see my love falls so far short of that. My love is deficient. I do not love Him as I ought. But yet I still do love Him. And now out of love, the calling is to show that love to one another. Simon Peter, do you love me? Then feed my sheep, even as I have fed you. Amen. Father in heaven, we are astonished by the love of Jesus Christ for us. A love that will not let us go. A love that not only forgives, but also restores. Stir up within our hearts love for Thee, and give us the grace to show that love by loving Thy sheep. Hear this prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.